Amen. Good morning, church. First of all, I just want to say that I'm not here to preach or teach any fancy words or anything of the such. I don't believe in all that. Or being eloquent like some are, and yet they say nothing. All they do is hype up the people. I'm not here to hype up nobody. I'm here to glorify God, and I hope that you will glorify God through His Word and through the Spirit. For God seeks such that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Okay, looking at right here at Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Okay. What I'm going to preach and teach today, I hope that the eyes, there's a scripture that says that the eyes of your understanding, that's your spiritual eyes, will be enlightened, that you will have a better understanding of what God requires of us, of the love that He has for each and every one of us. And not just only us. We're looking at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why? Well, originally, let's go to Genesis 1:31. It says, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Well, not only was it good, it was perfect. It was excellent until the fall of man. Until the fall of man. So that's why God sent His only begotten Son, to make a way to redeem man back unto Himself through the blood of His Son. He had to do it that way. It might have been foolish to others, but it's not to Him. That was His way. Okay, I just want to bring a few things here. A little history of things that are going on. And this had happened in China years ago. I had read this about China about 20 years ago. The church over there was suffering great persecution. And it still is. But the communist over there, you could say the government, said, okay, you believe so much in God? Fine. You know what they did? They threw them with their Bibles in their hand in the cesspools. Yes. And they said, let's see how long you can hold the Bibles. And they were up to here, up to their chests. It says some were up to here, up near their chins in that sewage water, holding their Bibles. They didn't let go. They stayed there I don't know how long. But it's just persecution that was going on over there. And I thought I'd throw that in. Because we don't know how blessed we are in this nation. Now, years later, the government over there trying to look good and trying to appease the people and trying to save face, they said, okay, we'll let you open the churches now, but you must register. And they had to register. The thing is that they really wanted to control the people, control the church. And they told them you can only preach and teach certain things. So they went underground. They went underground. But again, I was just reading another article just a couple weeks ago. They started shutting down the churches because they were getting freedom in the Lord and they were expanding the church. What does that remind you of? The early church was persecuted. And God scattered them all over. That was so the message could go forward. And you know, that's what's happening over there now. They're shutting down churches and things. But God will prevail no matter what. God will prevail. And that's why it's very important we don't let these things slip. What are we founded in? What are we grounded and rooted in? Today, many, you know, last Sunday when I was coming down, I observed a couple coming down the middle of the street with their children and everything, and I had to honk at them to, you know, they're right down the middle, and I'm coming to church last Sunday. And I thought, my Lord, do these people know God? Do they really know God? Have they been to worship and thank God? You know, the world is carried away with so many things today. And they find so many things to do other than to afford a little time to give God the glory, the honor, the respect due Him. And it's a shame because they take so many things for granted. And not only that, the Bible says that they have come to worship the creation more than the Creator. And it's terrible. They enjoy all these things and take all these things for granted. And yet, they call themselves Christians. It seems like in this world, in today, you know, I also read an article because there were so many, even an article on that was a survey taken of supposed to be evangelicals, Christians, that's us, more or less. Call it whatever you might, but those that call themselves Christians. And who do you believe in? Do you believe in God as the one and only spirit? And a lot of them said no in this survey. They said they believe there are other entities, other spirits out there that serve. They serve. That they believe in more than God. That's terrible. And they call themselves Christians. And it's a shame because everybody, we live in a time where, oh yes, I'm a Christian. But you know what? Their lifestyle is not consistent. Their fruits are not consistent of a repentant person. Their walk is not consistent of a repentant person. It's terrible. It's a shame. We live in times where, you know, as back in the the book of Judges 21:24, it says there was a time that every man did what was right in his own sight, in their own eyes. Isn't that relevant of today? And yet they call themselves Christians, and yet you can live any lifestyle and do whatever you want. And believe anything that you want, any way that you want, except God. It's terrible. And yet they claim to know the Lord. But what does Jesus say? They only know me in lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me. Oh, yes, it's terrible. And I'm going to tell you something. Even from this message myself and when we studied the Bible study this morning, I'm going to tell you something. I am convicted even more. I have a conviction in my heart. And God has convicted me also that, hey, I'm not doing enough. I'm not walking close like I should with Him. Now, it's up to each and every one of you to decide for yourselves. You know, the Apostle Paul said to examine yourself. See if you're walking in the truth or not. If you're in the faith or not. Every day we ought to check our hearts, check ourselves. Yes. Now, there was also another thing when year 2000 rolled around. I had read another article when the millennium was coming around. And it's terrible. It was a story about this one man. He was said that the world was going to crash. It was going to be the end of the world. And it's a terrible thing. He said that, I forget where it was, Utah or somewhere, some big high cliffs and mountains. He said that at a precise moment, if he jumped down at that instant, he would save the world and save all of us. I'm going to tell you something. There's no other name except through Jesus Christ written under heaven by which we can be saved. I can't save you. He couldn't save us. And I don't know if he said he would die, but I don't know if he went through it or not. But the thing is, the foolish things that these people come into. And God said, that's why he, okay, you don't want to know the truth? I'll send you a lying and deceiving spirit. You want to believe all that? All right, I'll let you be damned. Believe a lie and be damned. But it's terrible. It's terrible that people think, and there have been many instances where, oh, the world's going to end. Some have sold their properties, everything, churches. It's terrible, though, because some have even been seduced into committing suicide, thinking that they're saved that way, that their soul, they'll be transformed. It's just awful. Where people believe in other beings or in other persons, they follow other persons that can't do nothing for them. Only Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's why it's very important for you to know your Bible, to understand the Word of God. That's why I said in the beginning that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might understand, have a greater height, width, and depth of the Word of God in your life, and have a greater personal relationship and walk with the Lord. Yes. 2 Chronicles, and I'm going to tell you, first of all, we live in a time where everybody's doing that as they want. And it's a shame. This nation's coming down fast. And from here, this nation was founded on the principles of Christianity. And yet, it's drifting so far away. People don't like to hear that. They don't. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name, he's talking about repenting, coming back to him. He will heal the land. Yet people are talking about saving this, saving that, saving the whales, saving the birds, and saving, I don't know, even turtles. When I go to the bases over here, and the army bases, the military, they put wire across the freeways, the highways, because they want to save the turtles and whatever. Or save the owls over here. They can't build power plants or these. All these things are going to perish. We're born with nothing. We will take nothing out of this world. And yet man is living like he's going to live forever. And man is trying to grasp and do and step over whoever he can to get as many toys or whatever you call it to get ahead. And yet they're straying far from God. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Don't you know there's going to come a time? That's why it's important to read the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Get rooted and grounded in the Word of God. It's a shame. I've talked to people in the past. Well, how do I know this is true? I said, well, why don't you get the Word of God? Oh, I don't have time. I don't have time. And yet, they're lost. And they wonder why all, when things happen, look at 9/11, when God is not a God that when trouble comes, you get the Bible out, you go pray in the closet, and then you seek God. And then once trouble is gone, look at the shooting that brother said happened over here in Pittsburgh or wherever. He's not a God that you pick up from the shelf and then you use him and then you put him back when everything's okay. He's not. No. That's why it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. There's coming a time when God's Spirit is going to be taken away. That's why God specifically told the children of Israel, the adults in Israel, teach your children. Teach them so they will know. And they can teach their children and their children and their children. Because you know something? The Word of God is going to be precious. Even now it's precious, only people do not realize it. How many Bibles is there in this world that are just collecting dust? Put away. Oh no, but they have time to go do this, do that. Now I'm not going to name anything, but don't get me wrong. Some of those things are okay. But when they supersede God, it's not good. When they take the place of a relationship with God, it's no good. People don't understand that. Yet when trouble comes, they're all shook up and don't know where to run and all, you know. That's why I like the song, Troublesome Times Will Come. They're already here. People are asleep spiritually. That's why brother was talking about the sleep earlier. Yeah, you can be in the church and be asleep spiritually, even in the church. Yes. That's why it's very important we live, we understand the Word of God, but 1 John 4, 1 says, believe not every spirit. That's right. Believe not every spirit. But try the spirits, because I'm going to tell you, even the devil is transformed into an angel of light. He uses the Word of God, twisting how many people are being deceived today because of that. They don't understand. They don't know. Their eyes have not been enlightened. They don't have no understanding in the Word of God. That's why the parable of the good seed, read it. Pay attention to it. It explains all that. They have no root. They're not grounded in the Lord. They only last for a while and then they wither away when these things come. 1 Corinthians 4:9, it says, though we are troubled, we're not distressed when all these things come upon. We're perplexed, but you know what? Not in despair. Our hope is not lost. It's not gone because we have Jesus Christ. We were talking about that boat earlier. Well, we have our life vest. Our life vest is Jesus Christ in this world. That's right. He's our life saver. We're persecuted, but not forgotten. Cast down, but not destroyed. That's right. Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Prove, to be able to prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But you can't do that if you're not in a close relationship with God and reading and studying the Word of God. It's very important. Whatever you feed is whatever it's going to leave. That's right. You put in junk, you're going to get junk out. You put in the Lord, you're going to have the Lord by you. Because He also said, I won't leave you comfortless. He'll give us the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He'll teach us, guide us, and direct us too along, coupled with the Word and prayer. And by faith, you know. Revelations 2, it says, hold fast that no man take your crown. I will keep thee in the hour of temptation. Who is I? That's Jesus Christ. That's why He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's right. That's right. See, people don't understand that and they have no concept, no knowledge because they're not willing to sacrifice and spend time and devote time to understand what God's will is and what He wants for us. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to enjoy life down here. But there's a better life coming too. And He is true and faithful in all His promises. He's not going to leave us. Otherwise, like Paul said, if only in this world we are blessed and have hope, then we are the most miserable, but we are not. Hallelujah. He raised from the dead, conquered death, conquered sin, and He gave us we have the victory through Him. That's right. We have the victory. He said, don't be troubled. In the world you have trouble, but in me you have peace. Praise the Lord. Listen, we live in a time, we're looking at Matthew 24:37. It says, as the days of Noah, so are we today. People were eating, drinking, partying, doing whatever they desired, whatever they wanted. And it's terrible. It is terrible. Because They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know. And when it came upon them, it came suddenly. And it was too late. It was too late. Don't be caught unaware. Hebrews 10:39, it says, and that's in regards to this message, we are not of those who draw back. We're not of those who draw back, but of those who go on to the saving of the soul. That's right. To the saving of the soul. Let's not get caught up like looking at Luke 10:38. When Jesus went to one of the disciples' house, one of the servants' house, it says, Martha, Martha. Jesus said, because Martha was so caught up in trying to serve and the food and preparation for everything. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part which shall, now listen to this, which shall not, that good part which shall not be taken away. That's right. So many people are carried away with things here and there right now. It's a shame. It's been taken away until they realize what's going on and they repent and come to knowledge and understanding of the Lord. And we as people, as children of God, 1 Peter 4:17 says, judgment first at God's house. What shall be of those? If we scarcely be saved, what shall be of those that don't believe, of the unbelievers? That's right. He's talking directly to us. Be careful, because judgment's coming to God's house first. God expects each and every one of us, me, myself, I'm no different. Just because I'm speaking out here, no. I'm just in the same, as they say, the same boat with you. Yes. Jesus said in Matthew 5:20, except our righteousness exceeds ours, your righteousness, me, myself, all of you, except it exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, we shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Don't you know that they were the leaders of the church in that day? And they were supposed to guide and direct the people and help the people, strengthen and encourage them, teach them and show them God's will. Yet they were taking advantage. Where do we stand? We've been given the mission of reconciliation. We've been given talents. Are we using those? Are we deceiving ourselves and deceiving others? Jesus told them off because they themselves were not going in, and the new converts, they weren't even letting them go in. They were preventing them from being saved. Are we doing the same thing? We're supposed to help others. We're supposed to love God first and our neighbors ourselves. So we have been given the mission of reconciliation, except our righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. And that's why, now listen to this next one, Matthew 8:12. Many will come from the east and west and sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, into weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's why it's very important. We are the children of the kingdom. Jesus says, strive to enter at that narrow gate, because few there are. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there go in. It's not easy. Whoever told you it was going to be easy? No. The Bible says, any that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But you know what? The rewards that we will have, a mansion, robe, and a crown, peace everlasting. We won't have to deal with this life anymore. If, there are many ifs that Paul wrote on. Even Jesus said, He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Excuse me. He didn't say he that starts. He said he that endures. You got to finish. You got to finish that race. And you got to do it rightfully, that race that Paul spoke on. That's right. It's talking about the children of the kingdom, because we are the children. Many so-called Christians and people in this nation, in this world, not just here, but all over the world, claim to be Christian, to know God. Yet they're going to be cast out because they snuck in, and God is going to say, how did you get in without the proper robe, without the proper clothing? You know, no, you're just like a thief. Throw them out. Cast them out into outer darkness. That's right. People don't understand that. That's why I say, you know, Jesus said, whoever endures. That's why you can't believe once saved, always saved. You got to stay saved. It's one thing to start to be saved at first. Go in the water. Repent, be baptized. Confess the Lord, live a godly life, but you got to continue. It's an ever-going thing. It's not one of those things that you start out and then you can just drop off. No. It's like going, some people go to a gym, they only start going to the gym and then they drop out. And then they wonder why they're in such bad shape or why things didn't end up right. Listen, that's why we look at Hebrews 2:1. We can't slip. And that's why Paul said, Galatians, he said, oh, foolish Galatians. Why? What is it that has cost you? Let's go to Galatians real quick. He said, why is it that you don't obey the truth anymore? Let me find Galatians here. He says, Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? See, and then he goes on verse 3, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? See, they started out right, but they let it slip. They slipped. And that's why Paul warned them. And that's why he told them as he did. My question is, are you of the way? Of this way? The Bible speaks of this way. That's why Jesus specifically said, I am the way. That's why he's of the way. Yes. Also, I believe it's in the book of Romans. I will ask, this is a question even I ask myself. What kind of vessel are you? What kind of vessel am I? Am I a vessel? It says, in a great house, there are many vessels, many. Some to honor, some to dishonor. What kind of vessel are you? That's a question that we must ask ourselves. We must prove our own works. We must prove our own selves to see if we're in the faith or not. And I'm going to finish here where Jesus said, he told the woman at the well, woman, you don't know what you believe in. But you know, he told her, now is the time that the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. For such seeketh the Father. I hope I have brought something enlightening to you, something to stir you up, that we don't let nothing slip. There are so many things going on. And many things, it's okay. But you know what? That's not God's way. Don't deceive yourselves. And that's one thing I must ask. I must examine myself too. Because as brother said, we as teachers will receive the greater punishment. We're watchmen. We're watchmen to you, but believe it or not, you are watchmen. Each one of you is a watchman individually to others, to warn, to tell them, to teach them, to help them, to strengthen, to encourage them. That's why when we were talking about also congregating in the church, it's to know and understand the truth, the Word of God. It's very important that you know, because many are being deceived. Many are being tricked. The Bible says, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. I'll leave you with that. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Paul said, unless I be a reprobate myself, a castaway. I hope and pray that none of us are. Stay strong. God bless.